What's going on with dance and stuff?
What's happening with dance and things?
What's going on?
What's happening?
What's going on
with dance
and
stuff?
Stuff! How was that?
That was beautiful.
That was really, really beautiful. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to part two. So if you didn't hear part one, you can go ahead and go back and, right now, to part one of dance and stuff research journalism, because you're currently listening to part two. It is
research journalism, whole new world, whole new song. Here we go.
You're listening to part two of what we have already done, and so you have to listen to part one to fully get it.
I mean, just listen to part one. I mean, what else do you have to do? It's ridiculous. Listen to a podcast. You have literally all the time in the world.
Well, you can watch In the Closet.
True.
And also, I just wanted to say a quick note of something that I watched last night, which brought me a lot of laughs, was John Murphy, or Jack Murphy, but on their Insta or their YouTube, it's John Murphy.
Jack Murphy, young Juilliard student.
Yes, who did an In the Closet, which really made me laugh.
He's really something. We should keep watching young Jack, because there's something strange going on, which is really good.
It's really good. It's really, I'm, as Lydia Dietz once said, that felt iconic for me when I saw it at the time. I myself am strange and unusual. And from that, I have lived my entire life and was living my life still even at that moment. I was, as Lady Gay Gay said, born this way.
And that is what Lydia Dietz said.
As Lydia Dietz said, as Lady Gay Gay said, as Madonna said, you know, I do have to say that, like, I get one or two very vivid Madonna dreams a year. And this past week, I've had two extreme vivid Madonna dreams.
Wow.
So who knows what that means. But our friend Biscuit Ballerina.
Shelby.
Wrote me Shelby. For those of you who don't follow Shelby, you can follow her Shelby Grooves on Instagram or Biscuit Ballerina. Important, iconic. We must talk with her about how things are going on. And she's also someone who's really helping to try and pull resources right now for dancers, of course, because she's a saint and a comic genius. She wrote me on Instagram that after she left, remember when we did our interview with her?
Yes.
After she left my apartment, she ran into a friend of hers who was choreographing Madonna's last tour, which I'm guessing is Damien Gillet. And he was like, oh, come stop by a rehearsal. And Madonna was rehearsing around the corner from my apartment.
You keep almost meeting her. Remember when you didn't get to go to her birthday?
Oh my God, when I didn't get to go to her birthday, when her team reviewed the guest list and was like, no. They're like, we've had intel on this queen for years. The way she like worships this person since early childhood, it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, it's too intense. She can't deal with that kind of intensity.
I don't, but I think if we were to meet, I'm just throwing this out here, Em, should any of Em's people be able to get us in touch? I honestly think if Em and I met, it would be a real, we're both from the Midwest, we both have the same eyes. And we want to help people. And
Jack, I feel if you met her, you would you would thank her, obviously, for saving your childhood self. And then
I would thank her.
Then you would find her unbearable within minutes.
I think that's I that's not how it works in my dreams. I always thank her. I'm like, thank you for saving my life as a child. And then we talk about stuff and I want to know how she's doing and how she's holding up.
That's,
I remember,
nice.
Tori Amos had this really intense dream of making her pasta. I remember reading that when I was a kid, and I was like, I had dreams about Madonna too, Tori, another person I should meet. Anyhow, speaking of people to meet and people to talk about, we are now in part two of Dance and Stuff, Research Journalism, How Are Dancers Surviving?
Globally. And we're gonna go on over to one of the epicenters of the disease right now. A country which is totally on lockdown, which is Italy. And this is Gabriele Corrado, someone neither of us,
I thought you meant me and Jeremy, but you meant you and me.
Yeah, well, and Jeremy,
neither of you, you meant you and me.
Well, because now I'm a research journalist, so I'm talking to us from outside my own body.
Well, also the powers, read your powers of dissociation and magical thinking are so incredible that you absolutely can say someone who neither of you two, meaning yourself as well.
That's right.
No, and it makes sense. Okay.
Here we go. We're going to listen to Gabriele Corrado.
Hi. I'm Gabriele Corrado. I'm an Italian dancer from La Scala Ballet Company in Milan. As you all know, Milan is located in Lombardy, and Lombardy is a region that is facing a very difficult situation in this moment. I think that only in Lombardy we have today more than 16,000 cases of coronavirus, and of course the hospital are having a very hard time, and what we are trying to do as a country is to build very fast new structures that they are able to take care of all the people that need big help for this situation. So as a dancer, my theater has been closed 3 weeks ago. So it's been 3 weeks that I'm at home. And I've been outside only twice for grocery. I'm trying to stay home, which is a very important thing to do to try to break this contamination, to stop it. And the problem, the issue that we are having now is that a lot of people is not conscious about what the contagious can be, because for some person who got the virus, you may never show the symptoms at all. So, but at the same time, you can still infect other people. So it's very important to stay home. As a dancer, it's hard at the same time to keep on shape and work for our bodies. And so what we are trying to do is to follow this live class on socials. The other day I was taking Tyler Peck class from New York City Ballet, and she was giving class from her place in New York. And so many people, as you know, they're doing this. And for us, as a member of the company of La Scala, we are trying to make videos to make people understand how important it is to stay home. So we are creating this awareness campaign all together to feel part of the group, of the company, to keep on touch everybody. And what I personally do is trying to keep on shape, of course, as much we can. Of course, being in an apartment is not the same of being in a real studio. This is something that we all know. And this period is getting very long, so for us it's complicated. Personally, I have also a little issue on my knee. I got the jumper's knee inflammation before the theater closed. So I supposed to have a lot of therapies outside, and of course I didn't had the chance because everything has been closed, of course. And so I'm trying to find solution by videos from my therapist and reading about it on internet and trying to heal by myself somehow. This is something very weird and difficult to understand, I guess, because personally I never had the chance to live a situation like that before, like mostly all of us. And yeah, it's time to reconsider it maybe and think about our planet, about what is important for this globe in order to make life possible again and to stop these kind of things. And I wish they're gonna find a solution very soon and that we can all go back to our life. Somehow, I have a lot of time to think and to realize ideas in my mind. And yeah, sometimes everything looks the way it is just because we think it has to be like this. But in this situation is when you realize that sometimes we don't have any power. So in this case, the only power we have to solve the problem is to stay home. So please stay home.
Oh,
wow.
I, Gabriele, is that how you pronounce his first name?
I think so. Thank you very much to part one guest Christian for setting us up with Gabriele.
Yeah,
that was really
truly. And I am more than happy to also talk with Gabriele if I can help with the knee thing from anything I learned from the Kane School.
Well, he is our Instagram friend now, so you can reach out to him via DMs and you can give him some virtual physical therapy.
I will try. And it's, yeah, this thing of being stopped and of thinking and everyone thinking, what about the globe? How do we, what about the world? How do we,
right.
How do we take care of it so that it can take care of us? I
and
think
he's
certainly
he's
a
really,
big theme here.
He's really had quite a bit of time to ponder these things.
Yeah. He's in now week three.
Whoa.
We've only begun as a country. We aren't even really right. into our first full
okay.
week.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gabriele. That was beautiful.
Thank you so much, Gabriele.
We're going to move further yep. to the east, getting closer towards kind of Asianic Europe in Israel to talk with someone I lived with for a summer, one of the loveliest house guests I ever had when I lived in Ditmas. His name is Ofir Yudilevich, and he is a dancer choreographer in Israel, and he's one of the loveliest people I've ever met, and you're going to enjoy listening to him.
Hi, my name is Ofir Yudilevich. I'm a choreographer and a dancer living in Israel, about 30 minutes away from Tel Aviv in a small suburb, and yeah, I just want to share a bit about the situation here in Israel in terms of the coronavirus and also, I guess, within the dance community, what's happening. So I think it really started getting real here last week around Wednesday evening. The government, the prime minister talked about some restrictions. The restriction regarding, you know, the dance field was that the crowd was going to be limited to 100 people. So no gatherings above 100 people. This happened Wednesday. And Thursday, the kids in Israel went back to school after like a holiday break. But then later on that day, schools were canceled until I think talking about like the end of April, but you know, let's see how that goes. So within that day, a lot happened. And yeah, Thursday, I still taught a class. So I have this group that of professional dancers that I work with them twice a week in Jerusalem. So I went there, and then Thursday was like a semi-normal class, but we could kind of feel that things were getting, you know, more and more serious. And over the weekend, there were a lot more restrictions coming out. So no more. On Saturday, the Prime Minister talked about like restricting gatherings over 10 people and closing any unnecessary like activities. He was specifically talking about like the culture sector and like sports and stuff like that, any kind of like you know, activities that are unnecessary. But since then, there's kind of there's come out more instructions about just staying at home. So now it's basically like quarantine, but not really enforced, but people are asked to stay at home and just I think the we're allowed to go out, you know, if someone has a kid or a pet, they can go out with them. But besides that, we're asked to stay in the houses. We have, me and my wife, we have a 7-month-old baby girl. So for us, it's there's a small blessing in that we get to spend a lot of time with her, which is great. That's a bit of like hope and stuff. But yeah, besides that, it's pretty hard. I think the dance community is right now really like the choreographers here are really, thinking a lot about their financial situation. I think it hasn't hit in yet or sunk in that it's going to get more serious, and it's, I think, going to be death will kind of make its way into our lives eventually, I think. Right now in Israel, we don't have any deaths from coronavirus. And just Israelis in general, they tend to kind of not take rules so seriously or like try to bend rules. So I don't feel a lot of people are still taking this seriously enough. In terms of like what I'm doing at home, I'm just, you know, trying to practice, you know, just trying to dance at home. I'm working a lot on like things from like breakdance, trying to learn a head spin, or I have like a kind of regular handstand training that I do. So we're just trying to pass the time in that way and be with, you know, with each other, with my wife and with our baby. That's it. Stay safe and stay at home and take care, everyone.
Thank you, Ophir. Ophir better work spinning on his head during his time off. It's amazing.
I mean, I was picturing that in a at home headstands, breakdancing, and rule bending. Isn't it wild? I mean, just thinking about New York last weekend and people at bars, I mean, I could hear them. It was just like, yeah. You guys. Oof.
I know. And Ophir is, you know, when he says Wednesday, Thursday, he's talking about over a week ago. So, you know, stuff's been going on there as long and longer than here.
Oh, he wasn't talking about yesterday and today.
No.
I see. No. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Things are. Yeah, I was curious because things are very different.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now to go to when I go to a place where when I close my eyes, this is where I feel the safest, which is Interlaken and Traverse City, which is where Jane, Emily, and Matt are. For our listeners who heard our road trip, which was a multi-pronged event this summer. As I said, it was one of the happiest experiences of my entire life, to which Reed followed up with, "I hope more things for you." I hope you can have more experiences, and I hope more things for you, you said. Reed and I went to Interlaken with Emily, who married Matt, and Matt and I knew each other when I was at Interlaken setting a work in 2012 before he married Emily, and they have a daughter, Jane, who is really one of our truly iconic guests. And
one of our favorite living humans.
I mean, Jane, I have this, you know, when I think of like something like Terminator or sci-fi, I picked in those things, which then I hope could become a reality, not where humanity is extinguished, but where there's this golden child who ends up becoming the leader of the world. I hope it's Jane.
It has to be Jane.
It has to be Jane. We're really Jane for world leader. She does. She's truly one of the most brilliant children I've ever encountered. And
can you just imagine her in a debate and people asking her a question and her going, name, into the microphone?
It's literally, Reed, you gave me the first real, real extreme laugh of my day. That was absolutely, I absolutely love picturing that. And I pray to be alive to see that day. If I want to stay alive in this game called the world, I want it to be so that I can see Jane at that debate. Name.
Okay.
Iconic. Well, enjoy, okay.
Jane,
so enjoy Jane, Emily, and Matt.
Do you remember where we are?
At Kresge and Interlaken.
That's right. We're in Kresge at Interlaken.
Kresge.
And do you remember why there aren't any students here?
Because vacation.
Mm-hmm. And we have to wash our hands a lot these days. Do you remember why?
Because there's germs.
There's germs.
Oh, your answer?
Yeah, you're answering questions, right? And what kind of day is it today?
Sunday.
I think today's
Monday.
Monday. Do you remember why I'm not at work?
Because we have vacation.
And why aren't you at school?
Because there's vacation.
So much vacation. Mm-hmm. And we just looked at the lake.
Right? When was it?
And what did we do this morning?
We went to the black market.
And you got?
Hack Coco.
Pretty good vacation.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. This is Emily.
And this is Matt.
And we're in Traverse City in northern Michigan, where schools are closed and restaurants and coffee shops can only do takeaway, and bars are closed, and pretty much everything else is closed.
Including Interlaken, which is closed until May 1st.
Yeah, and that's the optimistic forecast.
And that's the optimistic forecast.
And we are spending our days going for walks, looking at the lake.
There's a lot of cleaning happening.
You know, trying to make the most of it. The most of being trapped in a house together.
The most of being together.
Oh, right. The most of being together.
With Jane. With an amazing three-year-old who always looks on the bright side of life.
Yeah, who thinks we're having a really long, intense vacation.
Everything's been vacation. Yeah. Coffee shops are on vacation. School's on vacation.
Even the hardware store is on vacation.
But we've been going to the beach. It's been sunny and 32 degrees, which mm-hmm. is great.
At most, 32 degrees.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so things are quiet. And
things are really quiet.
Distant.
Traverse City's like a ghost town. Interlaken's like a ghost town. It's very peaceful.
Yes.
And creepy.
Very creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday on St. Patrick's Day, I encountered one lone kilt-wearing drummer at the park in town, which was maybe worse than no kilt-wearing drummers.
I mean, he wasn't even Irish. That was the funny part.
Nah, he's from Michigan. Take care, everybody. Stay healthy.
Yeah, wishing you guys lots of love and luck. And yeah.
See you on the other side.
See you on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Jane.
I really want to see them again.
I love that they're protecting Jane and just calling everything vacation. Jack, I think that's what we're going to do with you from now on. Jeremy and I are just going to be like, are you enjoying this vacation?
It's like, I just want a better world for Jane, and ugh, this is hell.
It's gonna be okay, Jack. This vacation can't go on forever.
I know. Yeah, it's gonna be like a vacation that ends with like less people.
Jane's having hot cocoa in 32 degree weather in Traverse City, and
yeah.
There's no children at Interlock, and school does not resume till May 1st. I don't know what that could possibly mean in terms of graduation, et cetera. And that's, you know, if school doesn't actually even begin then, what does that mean for seniors who are supposed to start college next year and stuff? I don't quite understand. Will they just get some kind of proficiency? Well,
yes. What will happen is I can't imagine that all seniors won't graduate from a global catastrophe. So, you know, it's really the idea that it's like, well, you showed up late to three of your Zoom classes, you know. It's like they can't. That's not and I can say from my own interfacing with not only my colleagues but colleagues really pretty much all, only through America in theater and some in dance, because we've been sharing different platforms for teaching amongst each other and different documents, ways in which things that have worked for us in remote teaching, a lot of us are viewing it as what can this offer the students at this time?
Right.
And what is going forward and what does that mean pedagogically? What's the ethos of the school through that? And so I think that art does have a place of healing and catharsis and helping people. And as we, you know, we are in a digital age. And so this is a question of how are you going to use what you've learned digitally now to get to people.
Right.
So,
well, Emily, thank you for that truly horrifying image of the drummer in the park alone.
I mean, Emily is really another real genius of turn of phrase. And I mean, Matt, who's got, you know, the biggest heart of, you know, he's like glows in Michigan. You can, if you stand on your roof in Brooklyn, you can see Matt Lindstrom's heart. And
glowing. We love Emily Modrell and Matt Lindstrom, and we're not quite done. We have some parting words from Jane.
Let's hear those now.
What's the song Molly Malone about?
It's about cactus and rats alive, alone.
And who was Molly Malone?
A fishmonger.
And what happened to her?
She died with a fever.
Should we sing the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Molly Malone, I don't know.
Selling
cockles and mussels, alive, alive, alone. I'm speaking. Alive, live alone, alive, alone, doing cockles and mussels, alive, live alone.
That I'm definitely going to extract the MP3 of that and put it on my phone, because I will be listening to that around 30 times a day.
And perhaps for the rest of your life.
I really hope that I get to drive to Traverse City and be at Interlaken this summer and see them. I just, you know, have to say, Interlaken, my heart is with you, and I'm sure I speak for Reed too.
That's true. I love Interlaken.
Yeah.
I love it. We can't wait to do another recording from a practice room in a basement. All right, we're going to take a short break and be right back. Okay, hi, Legion.
Welcome,
we're here.
Hi, we're here.
It's Reed and Jack. Yeah, you need to go to iTunes.
Have you heard of iTunes?
Go there. And we need you to rate.
What would you call it?
Comment.
It's a storage thing for music and sound. You're going to go to iTunes and you're going to go to Dance and Stuff Podcast.
And rate and comment.
And you also have to subscribe, absolutely.
And subscribe. And because the more comments we get, the more listeners we get, and then the more people you can talk about this podcast with.
Also,
don't forget that we are still on YouTube. We have a bunch of videos we made. Go check them out. And
not
also,
only made, you can also watch videos we like.
Yeah, that's true. You can also watch videos that we like. Also, we have a Patreon. Please consider supporting us. And
and I would say, here's my recommendation, knowing the demographic of our supporters, cap it off at $5. Don't think that you need to give us any more than $5, because if all of you gave us $5, we would build the Dance and Stuff Center for Podcast Education upstate.
Tea,
so
honey, tea.
This is basically our Kickstarter, like Marina Abramović.
Except we'll follow through.
Thank yous.
And we're back.
I have a question.
Go for it.
When we take these breaks, do you think that at this point it would be fair for us to take the song after these messages? We'll be right back. Cause it's been so long. Don't you think that we can have that song now?
After these messages, we'll be right back. You think that is in public domain?
I hope so.
It's definitely not, because like Tennessee Williams plays aren't in public domain. So
right.
It's
but Happy Birthday is.
Happy Birthday has been around for a long time, Reed.
All right.
Absolutely. All right. I feel like Happy Birthday was definitely around pre the Spanish flu, but we can look it up and or someone else can, because you know what? I'm going to forget as soon as we move on to our next guest.
We've taken on a new role as research reporters, research journalists, and so we should find out these things.
We are research journalists, and and we always have been. If you've been listening to this podcast, one thing's for sure, we say facts. and our really iconic research journalists with full historic pedigrees. So
we thought about calling our podcast The Final Word on dance, but we just changed it to Dance and Stuff.
That's completely correct. I remember that was really the front runner title for a while, until Sound Wolf asked us for a catchier title. And
exactly. So that's Jeremy's production company.
Yeah.
Which is actually called
Soundwolf, but now it's called Dollhouse Productions, I believe.
Dollhouse Productions.
Well, speaking of
which has nothing to do with The Inheritance, I'll have you know. Nothing.
I'm glad that you reiterated that vehemently. I didn't see it, so I don't know what you're talking about. But
well, there's a dollhouse in it.
Work. I live for a dollhouse on stage. Remember the little set I had in Everything is Imaginable when the set shrunk?
Yeah, Jeremy did.
Jeremy Jacob. Yeah, really smart. Brilliant. Okay, so now speaking of dolls and stages and stuff and where we get our song from, talking about where we get our fucking title from, it is Drew Jacoby. And our next guest.
She's really a woman of the world, so who knows even where she is ever. So why don't we let her tell us.
Where in the world is Drew Jacoby?
Good morning. This is Drew Jacoby calling in from Poipu, Kauai in Hawaii. I was like, are we on Peepoo Island or Poopoo Island? I guess it's Poipu Island. I just had to ask our friends. So, my husband is working from home. W, FH, working from Hawaii. We're here for a week to kind of take advantage of cheap tickets, and now we decided we're going to stay here for at least two more weeks, but we thought, I don't know if you can hear the ocean, I'm outside of our waterfront house on the beach, and Hawaii doesn't seem to be affected by any of this. People are at the beach, people are at restaurants. I think there's still toilet paper on the shelves, but it's the perfect place to be quarantined, I'm telling you. Josh and my husband and his friend are working from here, and I'm being housewife. There's roosters. I think they're finally closing down the bars and hotels and restaurants today, but we're going to go to Costco and do some hoarding and hunkering down on the island for a while. It's, we feel really lucky that we are not trapped in our house, especially with a five-year-old. And the weather's warm, and people seem chilled out. I haven't seen anybody wearing a mask. But, you know, who knows, in 2 weeks we could be all out of food and, you know, wishing that, taking a ship back to Seattle or something. I don't know. And Josephine, do you want to say hi real quick?
Hi.
Say hi, Reed and Jack.
Hi, Reed and Jack.
Say aloha.
Aloha.
Anyways, love yas, and ciao for now. Bye.
O-M-G.
Yes, Reed?
Wow. Only Drew Jacoby has escaped the epicenter of Corona to go to a luxurious vacation quarantine.
Yeah, I really have to say, I loved Hawaii so much when we were there, and I was so desperate to figure out how to move there. I can't say I'm not intensely jealous.
Yeah, that's pretty great. She kind of nailed it.
She definitely nailed it.
I mean, her whole tone was so easy breezy, as if...
Well, yeah, because she's on the beach and truly one of the... In fact, I would say the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life, with, and you know, the ocean there is incredible, the plants, it's really, I love Hawaii so much. I really wish I was there. So way to grow, Drew. You just lucked out, like, incredibly.
It sounds great. We all wish we were there with you. Except, like, really, I'm sure you don't wish we were there infecting you, so.
Yeah, yeah, hi.
Well, for our listeners who are religious listeners, then you'll know about questions from Bobby. And if you've ever
That's
wondered...
That's right. We have definitely done questions from your BB.
Questions from Bobby. And so if anyone's wondering, who is this Bobby? You're about to hear his voice. Mr. Bobby Briscoe. Who, when I asked him for a voice memo, I did think he was still working in Germany near Dusseldorf. But then when we got the voice memo, it turns out he is in fact not in Germany. He's in Sacramento, California. So,
oh, wow. All right. Well, Sacramento.
But we'll
What's
be getting
like
some
there?
Always interesting perspectives from Bobby. And let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, Reed. Hi, Jack. My name is Bobby Briscoe. And I'm voice calling from Sacramento, California, where I dance with the Sacramento Ballet. Things here are rather quiet these days. Of course, you know, due to the coronavirus, things are rather dramatic. So we have been on a layoff due to the situation. Our last rehearsal was Saturday. Yeah, the company decided to go on a two-week layoff and sort of wait this out a little bit and see what happens. We just received an email yesterday stating that the state of California is requiring all audiences to be 50 people and under, which is very, very little. I understand that PMB did something online. I think they went across the bridge for them to their, because they're attached to the theater, and just did it on the stage. And I believe that they broadcast it, or it has been recorded and shown on their website. And that idea has been brought up with Sacramento Ballet. I think the issue is the company doesn't have, one, a theater to do it in. We only have a studio where we can do it. And then the equipment, you know, that high-level equipment that can get great angles and be sufficient enough video quality, 4K and what have you. So maybe that will happen. I think the thing is also this audience being 50 and under is for 8 weeks long. And basically the company only has 8 weeks remaining contractual. That is that with the company. Beyond that, we are only going to get paid for 1 week this week. And as you know, it's coming up to the end of March, beginning of April, which means another month of rent is due. And it's very uncertain because we supposedly go back March 31st. You know, could be coming back, could not be coming back. So information and the timing of that being shared is very, very important. I find it interesting. I don't know if you've heard, but the German government is basically no limits funding all artists, museums, theaters, even freelance artists in Germany. I find that remarkable, the power of socialism and organization, which I know probably will never happen here in the States. Heard today that they are discussing every American getting $1,000. So Andrew Yang just sort of broke through that. But let's see if that really happens. Yeah, and I guess we all just gotta come together, work together, and see where this thing will go. Just trying to stay afloat. I'm watching a lot of YouTube and listening to a lot of podcasts, including you guys. So that is sort of keeping me going. Playing some games on my iPad and iPhone. I'm a Buddhist, so I'm doing a lot of chanting. So to keep my spiritual side aligned and calm. Jack, you look really, really sexy in your little undies in your In the Closet video. I really enjoy that. You're quite thin and toned, but you look really good. Yeah, I was I was quite taken by your nice bod. Anyway, that's that. Reed, I miss you. I hope to see you again. Anyway, I love you guys. Love the show. Thank you so much. And that's all. Ciao.
Oh, Bobby, I can't wait to meet you. My God.
Oh, my. I can't wait for you to meet Bobby, Jack. I mean, this is a person I spent many a summer with in LA working for one of the most absurd people who ever lived. And Bobby brought levity always to the situation. Now, Bobby, this is, I'm going to address Bobby directly. Okay.
Okay.
Bobby, I wrote Bobby a message. I say, Bobby, send a voice memo less than 5 minutes. Now, I understand Bobby sent a voice memo over 10 minutes long to Jeremy, which had to be aggressively edited down because you have a lot to say, and we really appreciate your perspectives on both California and Germany, but that's crazy. Crazy.
Well, let me tell you what, Bobby, I can't wait till we get to meet and you're a guest.
Oh.
I cannot wait for episode Bobby Briscoe, which I do believe there will need to be more than one.
It'll have to be a two-part episode, obviously.
Yeah, and like a recurring guest feature, because there's things I want to talk about. I want to talk about chanting. Bobby, maybe you and I need to like take that conversation offline. I definitely want to know.
I love how he says theater, theaters, the theaters.
Well, because that's what they are. And it really is a way to go Germany, all, you know, really trying to make up for, like they're always trying to make up for their plague that they had called Nazis.
Exactly.
It's a real different, it is an absolute different way of living than we are experiencing here, where we do have absolutely white supremacy and a hotbed of other evils.
And Jack, how are you feeling after all of those compliments about how about your toned body, as Bobby says, which is really good?
You know what he said, but it's really good.
He
said, I think he said, you look thin and toned, but it's good.
Oh, wow.
And I feel better. I feel better, actually. Absolutely, people, you have on this episode, you've heard me crying listening to Jane, who I miss so much. I can't even begin. And now you're hearing the tone in my register better from my vanity.
Yeah.
And so absolutely DM me. Tell me.
You got some validation even from inside quarantine.
Tell me I'm beautiful in these quarantine times. And I'll keep going. And and
we're going to keep trying to convince you this is vacation and we need outsiders to continue telling you you're beautiful or we don't know what could
absolutely
happen.
You absolutely have to. You're going to have to really try to start triggering on some magical thinking for me. That's that is absolutely true. Yes, thank you. I'll be depending on you and Jeremy and everyone to tell me this is vacation and that I'm sexy. And thin.
Our last contributor of the evening, who is our good friend Doug Letherin, who lives in Wuppertal in Germany. He'll explain this, but he dances for Crystal Pite, Kid Pivot Company, and I think continues to do supplemental work for Pina Bausch. I don't know if that's true.
The last time I spoke with Michelle, yeah, I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. He has some words, and enjoy listening to his very beautiful low voice.
I mean, Doug's low voice to come in at the end to really ground you. Here we go.
Hi, Reed. Hi, Jack. Hi, everybody.
High on the hill was a lonely goat herd. Lay, lay, lay.
I thought we could use a dance break before we talk about the coronavirus.
Folks in a town that was quite remote heard lay, lay, lay. Lusty and clear from the goat herd's throat heard lay, lay, lay. Bridge of a castle boat heard lay, or lay, or lay.
So, I got a message from Reed asking me to speak about my coronavirus experience in Germany. And I don't really have much to say, to be honest. And I'm really good at long, monotonous, rambling voice messages, so I hope you enjoy this one. I got sick while I was on tour with Kid Pivot, and around the same time all of our tours started to get canceled, and I had dry cough and fever and headache and all the corona symptoms, but I couldn't get a test in Germany. I called my doctor three times, spoke to all different people around Wuppertal, and I just didn't qualify because I hadn't been to China or Iran. And a lot has changed, of course, since that started. And then finally it became more clear that my partner, who's in the Tanztheater Wuppertal and has been in and out of work, that he could have been infecting this whole large group of people, including an orchestra and the whole company. And so then the doctor deemed that it was more essential that I get tested, and then finally I did. And it was negative, but it was also taken when I was starting to feel better, so I'm a little suspicious as to how accurate it was. But we're kind of pretending like it was positive, and I'm staying inside and until I feel really better, because I still have this cough and in general are just trying to quarantine ourselves, like I imagine most everyone is. And it's hard to tell inside the dance world versus other places, because all of our work is canceled and everyone we know, and our Kid Pivot touring is canceled pretty much until January 2021. But it seems like other people, their jobs are going on in a way that's not interrupted for such a long period of time already. So this was my experience in Germany, and I tested negative for Corona, and that's pretty much it. Thanks for taking care of us with your podcast and sending my love to everyone. And maybe I'll find another song for us to finish on.
I want to talk to Doug about how the testing went, because it is a double test, as the CDC is now doing. So it's like that swab goes up you, and then I think you have to wait 15 minutes and they do it again. I think that's what's happening at these drive-thrus. I know it's a double test to figure out. You don't get to just, it's not a one and go.
Right.
So,
interesting.
So, Doug, sounds like good on you for...
We're glad you don't have the virus, or I don't know. Maybe it's better to just have it and get it over with. I don't know.
Well, that's what you kind of want. You kind of want to just, like, get it and move on.
Once you get it, does it make it so you can't get it again?
They don't know yet. I mean... Maybe it's literally the mysteries abound, and you can really take yourself down the most, as I have many, many times, extreme Google wormhole of every possible, not every, but a lot of different responses to what this looks like. How many, what the percentages are, and the main thing that continually comes up is how many variables and uncertainties there are.
Right. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you be my source.
I thought you told me that you were going to start telling me this is vacation, and then I could let this all go.
Oh, right. No. This is vacation. You have to stop looking at the times, and I'm going to... occasionally read the Times just to make sure we don't have to get in the car and go.
If I may suggest an article to people,